Hello, and welcome to Frequencies Episode 2, I'm with the band. In this episode of Frequencies, we'll talk about what it's like to be in a band. First, some housekeeping. We're on iTunes now, so go and find us. Maybe give us a review or something like that. My website, michaeljjohnsonmusic.com. I'm posting the show notes in my blog, so you'll see a blog entry for each episode. And you can even leave a comment there if you'd like. You can find me at Twitter, at Mike J. Johnson, soundcloud.com/Michael J. Johnson. Thought I should mention the music. Intro music that I'm also ending with as well is a song of mine that's yet unreleased. It's an instrumental tune called Soul Magnets. The other background music is just kind of instrumental things that I've tinkered around with over the years. Thank you to all of you who listened to the first episode. I got a lot of good responses from that. Please spread the word. I've already gotten some responses from possible guests for future episodes, so stay tuned. I want to wait until start to build up a little bit of a following before I invite those people. You know, while I'm not famous, I'm somewhat famous adjacent, so I might be able to score some decent guests once the word gets out about this podcast. So please help me if you can get the word out. Sometimes I will be joined by my wife, the fabulous Ani Johnson. And if you know her, she has voiceover experience and she has a very pleasant speaking voice. And so I think that will add some interest to this podcast, give you a little bit of a different sonic texture. Just a little bit more about me. I'm a musician and I also teach at several schools. I teach at Berklee College of Music. I will be also teaching music technology at New England Conservatory in the fall. I direct the music at Theodore Parker Unitarian Universalist Church in West Roxbury, just right outside of Boston. And I do a lot of gigging and stuff like that and try to get some work as a recording engineer and producer as well when I can. Okay, I'm with the band. So some of you who know me probably know that I've been in quite a few bands over the years, both as a frontman and a sideman, because I'm a vocalist and guitarist, as well as I've also played bass in some groups, and I've even played keyboards in a few bands. Just wanted to talk about several issues related to being in a band and the types of challenges, as well as the rewards that go with it. So if you're in a band, you know that band dynamics are pretty complex. Band can be like a family, and just like a family, sometimes you can develop a love-hate relationship with your bandmates as if they were one of your siblings. First of all, what makes a band break up? As I see it, the biggest reasons a band breaks up, number one, is ego clashes as well as personality clashes. If you get a band and you got a couple people with very strong egos, that usually is not a good recipe. Even if the band lasts for a while, eventually something will probably happen. Well, there's a few exceptions. I mean, if you think about the Stones, for instance, Mick and Keith are both very strong people, but they've been able to make it work. And, you know, it's not like they haven't quarreled with each other in the press and very publicly and that type of thing. But I think they were able to keep their eye on the ball, so to speak, and really think about the music. Another reason a band can break up, outside influences. The typical thing is having a girlfriend or a boyfriend of a band member who starts coming to rehearsals or something like that and starts trying to act like they're another member. But it's not just the girlfriend-boyfriend thing. It can also be management. Some of this can circle back to an ego. The record label or the management or someone starts saying, "You don't really need this band. You could do this on your own." And they believe it and they leave. Anytime there's any kind of outside influences, those can really mess up a band. Another big one, of course, is drugs and alcohol. And especially if you got some people in the band who are using and then some who aren't. So really, if you have people with different lifestyles, sometimes that doesn't work very well. Then there's jealousy. You got one guy in the band who's doing all the songwriting or doing most of the songwriting. Someone else in the band who maybe wants to be doing more songwriting. And don't forget that this is not just an ego thing. The people who make the most money are the people who have the copyrights. It's not unusual to see the guy or the woman who writes most of the songs living in a really nice house and the side man who only plays their instrument and doesn't write anything living in a trailer. Another common issue is unreasonable expectations or impatience. And really what I mean by that is you get the people who get in the band and they expect right away they're going to be famous or something. Who knows what they're thinking? And then when something doesn't happen right away, they bail. A lot of this comes also to no clear power structure. I've been in a lot of bands that have tried to be a democracy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sort of depends on the people. You got a democracy with a couple of people who really deep down inside would rather be in charge. It's not going to last very long. And I've seen a lot of those types of bands melt down pretty quick. So let me give you a little of my band background. My early band experiences were interesting. And I think in retrospect, my biggest problems were caused by A, undiagnosed and untreated ADHD, and B, raging alcoholism. I think when I was younger, even though I would have told you that I was a very humble person, I was not. I had an ego. And I look back on some of the bands that the breakups were my fault, even though at the time I'm sure I didn't think that. I can say that it was either I started getting my hackles up because I thought that I should be running things, or I might be jealous because people were paying more attention to someone else in the band, or sometimes I just got bored. I remember my very first band in high school, and I just got bored with it, and I started blowing off rehearsals, so they kicked me out. Once I got to college, tried a few bands. They didn't work out so well. Part of the problem was I was a classical voice major and we could get in trouble if we got caught singing in band. So it really wasn't until I changed my major to recording that I was able to finally do a band. And I played in a band as really more of a sideman. I was switching back and forth between guitar and bass and singing some lead and background vocals. And we were a good band. We won the big battle of the bands on campus that year, and we were kind of known as the big thing. And we got along, well, at least three of us got along. The main guy and sort of the driving force for the band, we just finally got sick of him. And when the school year ended, we all kind of went our separate ways. And a year later, we were asked to do a reunion gig, and we did it without him. For a few years, I tooled around after that with bands. In most of those bands, I was the lead singer, and we shared some of the vocal duties. A lot of those bands included my brother as the drummer, so we already sort of knew we got along. And then he and I started with a couple of friends, sort of a super group. It was one of those deals where I think it could have gone far, but right away there was pretty big ego clash between me and the bass player. We were sort of equal in the number of songs we'd bring in. He, for some reason, didn't understand my sense of humor and my lyrics, and actually didn't really understand anything about what I was writing, so he was always criticizing my songs. And so then one day, he and the other guitarist just said, oh, we're going to leave and start another band. At the time, that was pretty devastating because I think both my brother and I had put a lot of our heart and soul in that band, and we really thought it was going to be our ticket. But it didn't happen. Instead of right away just going on and starting something else, we actually both just sort of gave up for a while. And then I took off and moved to Miami. And there I got in a duo situation with a guy who was my roommate at the time. And another thing that I really think could have gone a long way, but both he and I just, I think we were just sort of struggling to see who was going to come out on top. And I don't think that was ever going to be resolved. I gave it one more try after that, and after a few little setbacks, I just gave up. So for many years, I just was a journeyman gigging musician. I just would only do gigs for the money, didn't really think about it as anything beyond just getting paid, ended up doing a lot of wedding type of gigs and things like that. Now that sort of gigging where you're actually doing it as part of your living is a completely different animal. So when you know that you're counting on those checks that you're getting from the gigs, you're going to take whatever gig you get and you're going to put on your tux or whatever it is, go do the gig, try to put as little effort into it as you can, and then go home. And that was really my life for quite a few years. So fast forward a few years, and I did get into a cover band when I was living in Illinois, and we were doing covers, but we decided to start doing original material. It was a good band. We all got along. It was more of a democracy because we had like three singers in the band. Nobody was really clearly the front person. But, you know, by this time, I'd been sober for a number of years. My ADHD had been diagnosed, and I was taking medication and being treated for it. And I can't tell you how much of a difference that made in my attitude. So I'll tell you, one of the things that I never liked was rehearsing. But once I started taking medication and going to therapy for my ADHD, I ended up having a lot more patience for that, which is good because once I came to Boston, bands in Boston love to rehearse. So I really had to learn to live with that. We actually got some fairly moderate success. We released our record, but then one of the guys in the band just decided to quit. Never really figured out why. And we tried to keep it together. We brought someone else in, but it was over. Magic was over. And it was too bad. Just another one of those situations where it was a really good band and very proud of the one record we released. For some reason, he just decided he didn't want to do it anymore. And this brings us to the part that I mentioned about unreasonable expectations. If something doesn't happen right away, if there's one person in the band who starts rethinking things or maybe just doesn't really have the patience for it, they can bail. And sometimes that can just be the killer, can just kill the momentum for the band. The chemistry, a lot of times, is what makes the band. And as you know, with chemistry, you take out one element and it can be gone. I think I'm going to end up with what I call my rules for being a good bandmate. So these are Michael J. Johnson's 6 rules for being a good bandmate. Number 1, communicate. I think back to a lot of these problems, and I think communication, if we had all been communicating all along, all of those bands that I was in the past that broke up would not have broken up. Number 2, punctuality. Now, I, of course, as an ADHD person back before I was being treated, I had a real problem with punctuality. That's the thing. Be on time to rehearsals, be on time to gigs. Don't just be on time, be early. Number 3, remember the band is not all about you. Unless it is all about you and you're just the headliner and you've hired a bunch of hired guns. But if we're talking just a typical band where we've all gotten together and we all kind of have the same goal in mind, it's not all about you. So if you are the lead guitarist for the band, it's better to be asked to turn up than told to turn down. And really, same thing if you're the drummer. And if you're the drummer for the band, it's not all about showing off your chops and doing really weird fills. Number 4, there's a difference between rehearsal and practice. In other words, when you come to rehearsal, it's expected that you have practiced your parts outside of rehearsal. It's not cool to come to rehearsal and then say, oh, I haven't even listened to this. Can we listen to it and make everyone else sit there and wait while you learn the part? Number 5, be professional at the gig. And there's a lot of aspects to this. Don't be a jerk to employees of the place. Don't be a jerk to the management. Don't be a jerk to the other bands. If you're on a bill with 4 bands and you're the 5th band, don't just come in when you're playing and then leave right afterwards. You want to stay for the other bands and support them too. And number 6, be fully committed. If you're not really into this, don't do it. And sometimes being fully committed, especially if you're original band, means that you're going to do a bunch of rehearsals so it sounds good. And even though you're not getting paid for those rehearsals, it's going to be worth it in the end. You might be asked to go put up flyers or something because that's part of what being in a band is. So that's all I got for this time. Once again, check out the show notes. Leave a comment if you want. If you got any ideas for topics, let me know. Help spread the word, and thanks again for listening.